I used to play the guitar one time, and let me tell you something. You can't imagine how hard that song is to play on a guitar. Give Michael Hammond a call. If you allow me just a moment, just to look out over there, Mom would be thrilled. Yeah. You'd be thrilled. Yes, you would. But you know it, so you're thrilled anyway. I want to say a tremendous thank you, whether somebody's watching me on the internet or whether you have participated in this, what I'm about to say. We, instead of flowers, Mom told me that she said, I don't want a bunch of flowers. I want people to give a gift to the church. And I said, Mom, whatever you want. Lord knows I couldn't argue with my mother. And I had no idea what would come in when we put out this word. Last week, I put on Facebook that we had collected $2,500. This weekend alone, we brought in another $500. Over $3,000 because people love Mom and love this ministry. Something else. Before you leave, if you get a chance, some of you have had to come to my office for different reasons. You know who you are. This time, there is no reason to go except I'm going to give you a special invitation before you leave here. With the help of my wife to help me sort of visual this, we took a lot of Mom's furniture, and I just gutted it in my office and started over and brought most of Mom's furniture over here and put it in my office. If you go back here and see it, it's got Mom written all over it. Before you leave here, go back and look how Mom helped me decorate my office. It would mean a lot to me, would mean a lot to her. Make sure that you do that. I think you'll see once you walk in how special it is. Again, we love you. Thank you for being here. I am going to preach. Aren't you excited? You going to clap or are you just going to sit there? All right, Brother Larry, here we go. I want you to look what's on the screen here. Now, real quick, these are, obviously they are abbreviated, but these are the seven things that Jesus said on the cross. Before we can celebrate resurrection, you have to understand there was a cross in this picture. It was a painful death, painful cross. But when Jesus' Father asked him to go to the cross for your sin and my sin, he said, Father, if it's your will, this is what I will do. Now, look up here at number one. Now, the very first thing that he said on the cross, looking out at the people who put him there, the ones who put the nails in his hands, put the nails in his feet, that caused him tremendous pain, the crown of thorns on his head, he looked and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Can you imagine? Most of us don't like to forgive when we're in pain. Which means yes. You agree with that, don't you? Someone hurt you, whether it's physical, emotionally, or whatever it is, it's hard to forgive when you're in pain. But that's how much love Jesus has for you. He was willing to say, Father, and this includes every one of us, forgive them. You have been forgiven if you will accept Jesus Christ. Been forgiven. There's not a thing in the past, not anything that you can do that can separate you from the love of Christ. And believe me, I've done a lot. You've done a lot. If you are sincere about believing in Jesus, you are forgiven. Give the Lord a hand of applause this time. You remember Jesus had a man on each side of him that was crucified with him. One man mocked him and said, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, get us all off these crosses. They say you're the Son of God, you got the power to do it. Stop my pain." The other one was quite humble as he was hanging on that cross. He said, "Jesus, I deserve to be here, but you don't." He said, "Will you remember me?" He said, today, you will be with me in paradise." This was a man who deserved to be punished. A man who had done wrong. He deserved to be on this cross. Jesus said, "I'm going to forgive you for everything you've ever done." You know why he did that? Because he looked at Jesus and he said, "Jesus, will you forgive me?" And he said, today is the day of forgiveness. Today is the day of life. Quit worrying about what happened yesterday, last week, last year. Today is the day. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Give Jesus a hand of applause. Now, this is a very precious moment. He looks down, and of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was extremely emotional. She's watching her son die very cruelly. And there was a man there that followed Jesus by the name of John. Now, as I have told this story many times, back in these days, they went Social Security, they went things to help the elderly. I mean, Mary didn't know really where the next meal was coming from or where she would be able to lay her head. Before Jesus took his last breath, he looked out and he made sure his mother was taken care of. He said, "John, from now on, this is your mother. You take care of her, and I will take care of you." And he looked at Mary and he said, "Mary, behold your son. He will take care of you." Before he took his dying breath, he made sure his mom was taken care of. That's my Jesus. Give him a hand of applause. Now 4 through 7, listen very closely. Understand this. At one moment in time while Jesus was on this cross, he became sin for the entire world. Listen to me closely. All eyes on me for a moment. He became sin. And this was the whole reason of the cross. It's because God cannot look upon sin. We cannot get into the gates of heaven with sin in our lives. So at this moment, worse than any nail going through his hands or his feet or the crown of thorns that was on his head, for a moment in history, he became sin for the entire world, past, present, and future. And when he did that, he understood. And he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Now, what this simply means is not that God forsook him, but God literally turned his back for a moment on his son because he took on your sin and my sin, and God the Father cannot look at sin. Jesus became sin for you. That's why you can be saved. That's why you can accept Jesus. And that's why you have a home in glory. That's where my mother's at. That's where my father's at. Because they believed in Jesus. Because he became sin. Whoa! A lot of people are trying to argue the fact that they don't believe Jesus really was human enough to feel all this pain. The Old Testament says, you'll know that literally Jesus is human, because he's going to say something from the cross that's going to make him human. And he simply said, "I thirst." Now, what's important about that? Because you need to know something. This was real pain for Jesus. This is not something at this moment in time where he was some type of super being that he didn't feel anything. Believe me, he felt the pain. Not only the physical pain, the spiritual pain. This is God becoming flesh through Jesus Christ. When he says, I thirst, it seems simple, but it proves to the world that he was human. And I'll tell you why this is important. Because when we look at the resurrection, we understand he came back to life from death when he says, I thirst. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Before he takes his last breath, he says, it's finished. What this means is his earthly ministry, earthly in the flesh, he had come to fulfill what he was called to do, and that was to die on Calvary's cross for you and for me. He says, it is finished. And then he says, and this is what, when my mother took her last breath, when I take my last breath, when you take your last breath, into thy hand. Here I come. Into thy hands is my spirit. And from that moment on, Jesus spiritually was with his Father. And he bowed his head, shut his eyes, and he died. He died for you. He died for me. Yes, he died. He's dead for a moment in time. All right, Larry, here we go. Next scripture. Look at what Matthew says. 3 days later, at the gravesite, they come. Of course, the stone is rolled away. His disciples, Mary, look what it says. He is not here, the angel says, for he is what?
Risen.
Even as he said, come to the place where the Lord lay. He said, go on inside and see. Go on in there and see if you see a body. Well, nobody in there. Go quickly. Tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead. And lo, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. I told you. Listen to me closely. When God says something, listen, people. He knows what he's talking about. Here we go, Larry. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And ran to bring his disciples word. Oh, here's the cool part. And behold, Jesus met them saying, basically, he said, hello. He says, all hell, but what he said was, hello. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, fear not. In other words, calm down. You ever been excited before? I mean, these people can't hardly breathe. They're so excited. He said, just calm down and be okay. Everything's going to be fine. When we get excited, we get anxious, listen to the still small voice that says, calm down. Calm down. It's going to be okay. He said, hello. And they came, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, fear not. Go tell my brother. Go tell. My brother. That they departed into Galilee, and there they shall see me. One day, I promise you, if you know Jesus, you're going to see him. And let me tell you this, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to see him. But I promise you, you want to be the ones who, when you see Jesus, that says, come home. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Or you're going to hear when you face Jesus, depart from me. I never knew you. Jesus is not going to do that. You're going to do it to yourself if you don't know Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Let's close it out with what we call the Great Commission. Jesus came to them, all the people who loved him, and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. All he's saying is, listen to me. What I'm telling you is the truth. I have the power of God the Father behind me. This is what you need to do. Verse 19 says, go. Do you know go is 2/3 of God? Wow. Yeah, that's right. If you know God, it means to go. Live your life for Him. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Wherever you live as a nation, if you will. If you're at home, if you're at work, if you're at play, wherever you're at, you can be a great witness for God. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We've got four to baptize here in a few weeks. One adult, three children. Let me tell you something. It didn't get any better. It isn't getting any better. It's not that that water saves you. Listen to me closely. That water don't save you. But see, Jesus was baptized. We need to follow in the steps of Jesus. And it really symbolizes that I go down an old person, become up a new person. But from the time that you accept Jesus Christ, you are a new creation in God. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, folks, I'm going to close with this because my time, I only have so much time here, but listen to me. The end of the world as we know it, folks, is on our doorsteps. Now, that's not a scary thing for Christian people. Matter of fact, I'm pretty excited about it. Because when he blows the trumpet, I'm gone. I'm going. I'm going to fly. I'm going to blink my eye and I'm going to be away from this world. Every time I turn the TV on, I say, Lord, blow the trumpet. Every time we turn the internet on, Lord, blow the trumpet. It's time. It's time. It's time. Everything biblically, I promise you, I've studied this for 40 years. Everything biblically has done been fulfilled. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, the time is now. The time is at hand. You need to know Jesus and act like you know Jesus. And understand, He is with you, teaching to observe all things. About 3 or 4 days before Mom passed away, she had a right mind about her. She wasn't on a whole lot of medicine. And we were talking, and I said, Mom, I tell you, some days I feel like that, you know, I'm getting up in age a little bit. You know, maybe the church needs a new person. Maybe needs a younger guy. Somebody that can reach out to younger people. I said, Mom, I'm getting old. They've been listening to me for almost 30 years. I don't know what I got left in me. She said, I've come close to dying a couple times, but the Lord still keeps me around. She said, Roger, and she quoted the scripture to me. She said, you were called to do one thing, and really it's the only thing you know to do. Other than that, son, you're pretty useless. You can't work on heating or air conditioning. Your father was a great electrician. You couldn't wire two wires if you had to. But she said, it's the only thing that you know to do. But she said, in my opinion, you're the best.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
She said, this is what you're to do. Do it until you die. Whether you got five people in front of you, or 500 people. Because Jesus is not into numbers. He's into people's hearts. She said, it's what you're called to do. Do it. She said, teach. And understand, He's with you to the end. Pretty good advice, huh?
Amen.
Folks, we live day to day. And if you're a Christian, there's nothing wrong with that. You need to live day to day. But understand this. If you're not a child of God, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not a very hard thing to do. It's pretty simple to do, really. You just acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. That's what the Bible says. And all you got to do is just come up here in a minute and I give an invitation and say, Brother Roger, I just want to be saved. That's really all you got to tell me. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. God's going to know your heart. And from that point on, and I don't care whether you're 8 or you're 90, 8 or 90, I don't care how old you are. long as you've got breath, you have a chance to make it right with God. Folks, you're not promised when you get in a car here and lean out of this parking lot that you'll ever see the light of day. Or that trumpet is in the hands of Jesus. I'm telling you, it can sound any time. I beg you and I plead with you, don't leave this place if you don't know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior. And once you accept Him, as Monica has said so gracefully, you know, we're not a big church. Just sometimes there's things we can't offer that the big churches offer. But what we are is what we are. You're going to be loved. You're going to be cared for. And when you miss, you're going to be missed. Because you're not a number. You are a name to us. And simply all that means is we will love you. We'll care for you. It's not about Easter. It's not about Christmas. It's about every day giving your heart to Jesus. Living for Him every day. Do the best you can. Nobody here perfect. Lord, and I'm the chief among the sinners. No one here perfect. No one's asking you to be perfect. All we're asking is that we believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus. You live for Jesus. You come to His house. You worship Him. Use your talents for Him. And if it's not this church, you find your church. Because I promise you, the trumpet is in the hands of Jesus. Stand and pray with me. Watching me by internet today, it could be day, it could be night. You could be in any place, you could be in a motel room, you could be in jail. But if you have a chance to watch, understand this, God loves you. And if you're willing to change and to give your heart to Him, He will accept you where you are. He will wipe your past out if you truly believe in Him and give you a future. To those within the sound of my voice here, as part of this congregation, Jesus' Spirit is calling you by name right now. Calling you by name. Saying, please come. Please come. People have asked me, I don't know how many times, why do I got to come forward? Why can't I just come in your office? Well, Jesus said, you've got to acknowledge me in a public way. Because see, everything that Jesus did, He did out in the front. He did out in public because He loves you. This is why we invite you to come and to make that public. We don't want you to be ashamed of what you're doing. People here are going to love you. They're going to embrace you. They're going to be excited for you. Again, whether you're 8 or 90, this invitation is for you. If you need a quiet time at this altar for somebody here you need to pray for, we're going to invite you to come. The decision is yours. Father, we thank you for all that you do. Bless these moments in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as Michael continues to play, would you come in the name of Jesus?